with another episode. This week, we are talking about comedy and performance. But before we get into it, Chris.
Hold on.
We're talking about confidence and performance. You shot that intro, Sam. We gave you one task. I'm doing the outro. Chris is doing listener mail. You had one
confidence?
Job. You blew it.
I said comedy and performance.
Yeah, duh.
Well, we talk about that every week.
No, we're talking about
are we confidence. Not talking about comedy and performance this week?
We are, but that's just the general theme of the podcast as a whole. But this episode
this
is devoted
week,
to confidence.
About...
It's devoted to confidence.
All right. Well, if you want to introduce the episode,
I just did it for you.
Thank you.
We would have been talking about comedy and performance, and that's too big right now. It's too much.
Too broad.
Yeah, too broad. Yeah, so it is confidence in performance, and you're right, Jamie. This episode, we did little blocks, little segments. All right, Sam intro, pass it to me, Jamie outro. So we've already failed, right? Which is fun. But
you know
I am going to check this out. What's that?
You know what? I did the intro with confidence, and I think
that... That was really the problem. That was really the problem. Yeah.
If you had a little, if you were a little more unsure about it, we could be
self-doubt would have really corrected for that.
I do want to say just quickly before we get started on this topic, I want to thank all the listeners and everyone who's reaching out to us. We're getting a lot of messages from on our Instagram, which is just at The Comedy Fix. It's been great. It's been great to hear your thoughts. It seems like people are being challenged, which is wonderful. It seems like people agree and some disagree with some of our thoughts, which again is wonderful. I have some friends who are teachers who have been sharing this with their students. I have students of mine, current students of mine, reaching out to me, telling me how beneficial this has been. That makes us very happy. And I do want to give one quick shout out to Sarah Samuel, who's a friend of mine from the West Side Comedy Theater, pardon me, who recently shared our podcast on her Instagram as part of a podcast to listen to. And I liked the way she defined our podcast. She said, it's a philosophical podcast about comedy. I think that fits nice. A philosophical podcast about comedy. So thank you, Sarah Samuel. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a friend. I love you. Okay. Now.
Yeah, that's really great. No, we appreciate all the listener comments. This is really a conversation that we just have with Sam, Chris, and I, but it's really open for everyone to participate in and, you know, shoot us more links of what you think, because I love to be challenged. I know Sam likes to get into it, and so does Chris. So let's keep the conversation going online, and we'd love to hear back from you. But the show must go on. So with today's topic, comedy and performance, we started talking about comedy back in 2000 BC.
What we decided we were going to do specifically confidence in performance,
which also goes back to 2000 BC.
Yeah, exactly. I'm so sorry about that. Confidence in performance. Yeah, confidence in performance. Do you need confidence? What value does it have?
Do you have it?
Do you have
confidence in performance?
No, I don't. That's why I know you don't need it, because I perform as much as I can during COVID, but pre-COVID I perform quite often, and rehearsals even more often, and I never have confidence in anything that I do, and that's how I know you don't need it. So I'm here to break this conversation wide open. Sam's looking off into the corner trying to formulate.
I would have said that you have too much confidence as
Me
a performer
too.
Sometimes.
I also would have said that.
Interesting. Well, I think maybe we should start with Chris, because I know this is his baby topic, his personal struggle that has been borne out across the span of this podcast. So now we're just hitting it directly on the head. So Chris, can you talk about confidence, if you have it, if you need it, and then maybe we can get into it from there.
Okay. Well, for a very long time, I thought confidence was something you could just turn on. Like just go in there and be confident. Like I thought confidence was a choice rather than what I believe it to be now, which is like, it's made up of your collective experiences and things you know, or things you know that you don't know, and how you can feel confident in yourself that way. This is already sounding crazy, but I do want to get to a point where I wasn't confident for the majority of my life. Then I pretended to be confident for a very long time. and that's an interesting place to be. Some of my best friends now tell me that when they first met me at IO, RIP, that they thought I was a dick. I was cocky. I was a kind of an asshole. And I think that's because I was pretending to be confident. I was doing my impression of what I thought a confident person looked like, which is somebody who doesn't actually care about what others think. It's just kind of a cool person. And then I would bring that onto the stage where I was frightened and shaking, but pretending to be confident, pretending to be at ease and cool, even though I was like fucking shook. And it never served me. I mean, it served me in that some people believed me. Some people thought I was confident. They didn't know I was the vulnerable, anxious baby inside. So in that way, I sold it. But I will say, last thing, I know I'm talking a lot here. I think I am now at a place where I'm a confident performer. When before I wasn't a confident performer, I was still too scared and I was just pretending.
So let me ask this. What does it mean to be confident? What does that actually mean? What is that feeling? What is that state of mind or existence? What do you mean by that?
I think for me, there's an ease. There's no more of the panic moment, the flailing, which I see a lot of students have. That doesn't mean I'm not on my toes or like, you know, maybe excited or nervous in that sense, but there's just a general ease to my play. My insides aren't screaming and shaking.
What does that do to? What does that do to that ease? Where do you get that from? Your belief in your ability? Your belief that you can make a good result?
I think it's just repetition. You know, I heard this a long time ago. Someone said the difference between a good improviser and a great improviser is 1,000 shows. That would be a good topic to talk about. Now, whether that's true or not, I liked that idea because it told me I didn't need talent or I didn't need, you know, a special talent or the highest of training. It meant I could just show up. And if I show up and do 1,000 shows, I will be better. And I believe that. Repetition has been everything for me because I don't feel like I have these natural born abilities or gifts. So any of the success I found on stage has come from the amount of time I spent on stage, which is more time than I spent doing anything else in my life.
But what I don't know if I got an answer specifically. What's that state of mind? What's that state of being when you're confident? Are you confident that no matter what happens when you go out on stage, that you'll be able to work with it, or that, you know, that your end result will be good, even if there's hiccups along the way, or that what's that state of being? What's really undergirding that?
Yeah, that's interesting because I feel, because I'm saying yes and yes and yes to every one of those points. So it feels like for me, confidence in performance as the title has a bunch of these little subcategories where I do feel confident that it's going to be good. I do feel confident that I can take on anything that's given to me. I do feel confident that I could fail with grace. I do feel confident that I can handle anything. Yeah, going on. Frankly, I feel like I'm the most confident when the show feels to be moving in slow motion at times. I can see moves being made. I can calculate them before they hit me and decide how I want to respond. I don't know if I'm really answering the question.
No, that does. I think that gives us a lot to work with. Again, Sam, you're on this podcast. Mm-hmm. You may have messed it up, but we're going to work with it because we have confidence in it.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't shake me. I have confidence in myself. Confidence is tricky. Because I would agree that you can't really be a great performer and not have confidence in what you're doing. But I think I've certainly made the mistake of being too confident in my own work. And I also think that something I really don't like seeing is when other people are very confident in their work and they shouldn't be. And maybe, I don't know if that's sort of what Chris is talking about, which is maybe it was my insecurity masking confidence or arrogance or any of that kind of stuff. But it's, I feel like so many of the things we've said, it's like, well, you can't have too little and you can't have too much. So like, again, I would say like the Goldilocks confidence issue is probably a true thing. But yeah, you have to be self-assured. I guess that's what I think of with like confidence is you have to be enough for yourself. You can't be on your heels. I like the idea of being on your toes a little bit more. Which is why, Jamie, it's so striking to me that you make the assertion that you are not a confident player. because of all the people that I've ever played with, you are the most confident that whatever your move is something of a right move. Many times, more often than not. In fact, your confidence goes so far that you will challenge regularly teachers with much more experience than you, who themselves are very confident that they've taught people and know what they're doing, but you're more confident that they don't necessarily have all the answers and that you can provide your own. So I'm curious, how would you say that you are not confident? I mean, are there times where you've made a move in one of our shows and you've gone home being like, I shouldn't have done that. That was wrong. Is that sort of the manifestation of it, or does it sort of come out in a different way?
So when I say that I feel like I don't have confidence in performance, I think to me, confidence, and who knows, I may be wrong, I'm not sure. But I think confidence is kind of a diluted space to be in personally. It's kind of the ego reassuring you that things will be okay when you don't know that. How can you have confidence? You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know that you can handle it. So to be confident that you can is a little diluted. It kind of dilutes you and kind of protects the ego just enough so that you can get by. And so I try not to subscribe to confidence or self-esteem or things like that, because it kind of, and it's happens in performance and it happens in my personal life. I just don't think confidence is an appropriate state of being to get through the world, because it's delusional, because you don't know what's going to happen and you don't know that you're going to be able to handle it. So the premise is flawed.
But I think it's a necessary delusion.
I don't think so, because I found ways around it. But go ahead.
Well, it's just kind of like the fake it till you make it type idea, right? Sometimes I think we tell ourselves we can do something that maybe we can't, and then we can because we've told ourselves that. Like I said, I think some delusions are necessary to reach a certain height. I think to push boundaries, to go further in yourself, there has to be. Nah, I don't say there has to be. For me, there, it's nice when I have the belief I can do something. Even if it is, if it's ego and it's delusion, I'm okay with that. I think delusion is often like, it has this negative connotation, but I'm fine with being a little delusional here or there. If it quiets the anxiety and even gives me a false confidence to make the move.
Yeah. For me, confidence in the way that you've described it, and of course, I don't mean any personal offense, but it sounds more like a coping mechanism rather than like something to build the way you approach the world around.
I think in this previous example, about it being a necessary delusion, I think it is more of a coping, but that's not how I feel when I'm in performance.
Okay.
You know, that ease I was talking about, I don't think I'm being delusional about that. I think because I've been on stage enough and those hours are logged, I do feel a confidence in my performance.
I mean, the end result might be the same, but I don't get to, because I have a lot of ease with performance as well, but it's not through confidence. Confidence doesn't get me there, because like I said, I think it's a delusion and I try as best I can to like live in whatever harsh reality I think is out there. You know, it's all subjective, who knows, but I try, if I see a delusion in myself, I really try to break it. Even if it hurts personally, I'd rather break through and then see something more real on the other side, even if it's ugly, and deal with that than to be okay deluding myself. Go ahead.
But I don't think that in the way I'm saying it, I don't think that the delusion is faking the funk, meaning I don't think it's denying the issues that are underlying. I think they can be positive if you put action towards, say, like obtaining a goal. Because when I think about you in a rehearsal or a show, to me, those stakes seem very low. When I think about myself testing for a pilot for NBC, it's very high. It's very scary. I've only done that like, you know, once. Let's not get it twisted. It is coping, but I have to put this mechanism into my brain to believe I can do it. But it's not just that. I don't just live in there. I can do it. I also reinforce it with action. So I get the coaching. I take all the necessary steps to do the best job I can. But if I listen to the anxiety in me that's saying, you can't do this, dude. You're not good enough.
Then yeah. Yeah. And I definitely, with this conversation, don't want to undercut anybody's mechanisms that they have that work for them. I'm not telling anybody sure. how to do anything, but I'm just telling what works for me and how I approach it. Because yeah, because to me, even if you fake confidence and then you have some level of success after having faked that confidence, that reinforces the delusion. It would for me, instead of confidence, for me, it's, a certain healthy level of, I don't know what the word is. It's not quite indifference, but it's kind of realizing that it doesn't fucking matter. It doesn't fucking matter. Almost like in a nihilistic sense. Like mm-hmm. if this show doesn't go well, if this scene doesn't go well, it's a stupid fucking improv scene. There's three people in the audience. Who cares? Mm-hmm. You know, it's because the confidence to me is ego protecting, right? You can do it. You feel like you are strong enough and good enough that you can do it. That's ego to me. But Sam wants to jump in. I'd love to hear Sam. Yeah.
Well, he's on the podcast.
Guys, I'm here the whole time, every episode.
It always surprises us.
I know. I'll say this, Jamie. I think you're making Chris's point about the low stakes for him. You're talking about how it doesn't matter that there are three people in an audience and the show doesn't go well. You're right. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you get your one opportunity, the only one you'll ever have in your entire life, to audition for a pilot. And if it goes well, you could possibly be working for the next 5 or 8 years of your life, making wealth way beyond your dreams. Like, that's a different situation. If that doesn't go well, there is a difference there. So
I disagree. I think I think the only real high stakes thing is, you know, maybe things that are like, I mean, this might be dramatic, but like things that are literally like life and death or family or something health related might be life and death. But whether you're on a dumb fucking sitcom that no one's going to watch in 10 years and you get forgotten as some B-level actor, like, that doesn't sound high stakes to me. That sounds no more important. Like, who are all these people on Love Boat? Like, I'm sure that was super high stakes for them. And now who gives a shit? Right. So it's like, in the scheme of things, things are lower stakes than people make them out to be. People dramatize it up in order to, I don't know, feel excited about something. But I think it's all low stakes unless it's really like life or death, you know, something kind of on a human level, that's kind of more of a big deal.
Yeah, I think this is a great example, Jamie, of when you're confident in a bad idea and how detrimental that can be. Is you're very confident in your point of view here. And I don't think you could be more wrong about it, because I think you are talking about people's families where you're talking about livelihoods.
Here's the thing. If I'm wrong, it doesn't matter. Right? This is how low stakes this conversation is. So I can be confident or it cannot matter. And the result is the same. The result is I'm going to push forward with my perspective. And it doesn't matter if I'm right or wrong. That's what's so great about my perspective, is that to me, there's no stakes, or the stakes are so low that it's not worth building your self-esteem and your life around the success or failure of it, because it doesn't matter. But if you have confidence in something and then it goes wrong, then you're destroyed, because now you have no confidence. Now you have no self-esteem, and now you're taking it on personally. Whereas if it goes wrong, then it didn't matter in the first place, and I just move on to the next thing.
You're not, I don't think you're destroyed. I'm confident about an improv show, and that improv show doesn't go well. It doesn't destroy me. Because of my confidence, I'm able to look at where things may have gone wrong, build, and be better. I do want to make a distinction, though. We talk about the pilot situation, which, by the way, is very high stakes, Jamie, for a lot of people. I know it's not important to you, but it's not just the idea of being on a shitty sitcom, which it would change. I could buy a house for my father or something. Like, that's the way I think of it. It could be very... It's very important to me, but that also isn't the reason why you should get into acting. And I know that too. I do want to say this though, walking into that thing that being delusional about doing a good job is different than the confidence I feel when I'm performing. Because if I felt the confidence I felt on an improv stage, if I felt that same confidence during a pilot audition, I would feel great. I'm not shook in an improv setting. I am shook in those other settings. So my point is, I guess I am not confident in myself or in my abilities as a pilot.
Maybe one sense of confidence is authentic and one is fake, but to me, they're still both delusional, you know, because to me, confidence is a delusion. It's the perception that you can handle whatever comes in front of you, and you don't know that. But you don't know that. Because you don't know what's coming.
But what situation can I not handle in an improv show?
I don't know. What's something that would happen in an improv show that you wouldn't know what to do with? You wouldn't know how to handle it. You wouldn't know how to make that a successful scene. I'm sure there are things.
If somebody pulled out a flamethrower or whatever, right?
Great.
Like started like, yeah.
Great.
But that doesn't... but that doesn't shake me. I guess that's what I'm... I guess I keep going to that word. If when I'm in a situation where I feel unshakable, that's when I feel confident. And also, let's be honest, that's where I find my most fun. You're associating this confidence with this like this negativity. When I feel confident, I don't feel full of ego.
No, I don't associate with any negativity. I don't associate with any negativity. It's just for me personally, I find it to be a false state of perception. Because I know there are things that I might have confidence in doing something that I might not, maybe I shouldn't, you know? So in that sense, oh, well, maybe I don't know.
What about tying your shoe? Are you confident you could tie your shoe?
Well,
he's deluding himself.
I don't know. Cause I've never thought about it. I'm pretty sure I could do it, but at the same time, if I couldn't, it wouldn't matter because I would just wear slippers.
Okay, but it doesn't matter to me either if a scene goes poorly because I'm confident. I'm confident in myself as a performer. But it wouldn't matter. I would just look at the audience and say, have a good night.
I think maybe. I mean, what about, you know, 15 bad shows in a row? Maybe, well, like, what about a slump, you know? Sure. A slump might hurt your confidence. A slump's not going to get to me because who gives a shit? Slumps, goods and bads, you know, it's all part of the experience. You've been in a slump your whole life. I've never got out of the slump.
Yeah. You started and ended in a slump.
Yeah.
I hate this conversation. And I'll tell you why. The reason why I hate it is because we are putting it in the front part of the brain. And you said ego. And the second you said ego, I had sort of like a visceral reaction. I was like, no, confidence is id. Right. And so like, look, I'm not a therapist. I can't tell you what's a coping mechanism or not. But like my understanding of this is like ego is that brain that keeps talking to you. Whereas like it is sort of that subconscious that takes you through there. And to me, the reason why repetition works is because you work it down into your bones. Right. And so then when you go on stage, you sort of have this thing on a level below the sort of like, oh, my gosh, what's going to happen? And it's a level of self-assuredness that's part of like your animal thinking on that level. And to me, like that's where the confidence really comes from. I don't think it's always a delusion. I do think if you want to talk about delusions, we could talk about liquid courage and how that is sort of a fake way to confidence. But I do think that there is something a little bit deeper going on when you're truly confident in something, not when you're faking it. But when you're walking into a situation, and again, we'll try to keep this into like comedy and performance, but where you're like, oh, no, I belong at this table. I can sit at this table. I can pitch a joke that's funny. I can actually fix this story that some other people aren't seeing the fix for. I actually know I can do that. There are probably some other things I'm doing wrong and I'm not confident about. I'm not confident about how I can make friends or relate to people on a human level because I'm an unemotional robot. But like there is this other sort of thing going on that's not, I'm faking the delusion. It's like, no, I know in my bones that like I've got this cold.
I don't, yeah. To me, that's a delusional state because you don't know that. You can't know that you have that cold because you don't know what's coming, right? That's why I'm saying it's like confidence might, you might be able to handle 90% of situations. Maybe you genuinely object to, I mean, now we're speaking all theoretically here. I mean, this is all theoretical, I guess, but maybe you, in reality, you can handle 90% of situations. And so therefore you have confidence that you can handle 100% of situations. That's a lie. That's a delusion because that 10% you can't handle, right? How I'm perceiving this.
But I think, okay, I like that idea because I'm thinking about the way where I feel most confident. It's probably not on stage. It's teaching. I don't feel confident that I can handle 100% of situations. I feel confident I could do 90% of the situations. I'm confident in that.
Right. But then are you a confident teacher? Because when you put it over into the teaching thing, then you're only 90% confident when in fact 10% you should not be confident, but you're confident for the whole thing.
Well, because I'm confident that even I'm confident in first knowing the things I don't know. I know that I don't know everything. And I'm also confident that if something comes up that is whatever, not going as planned, I can also learn from that. Like everything continues to feed itself to me in a very positive way. And I'm confident that I could walk I'm confident that I could walk away from every class having learned something myself. I'm confident I can walk away from every class having taught a couple of things to some people. Every class. Fine. But even if it was 50% of the time, couldn't I just be confident that 50% of the time I think this is going to go well and 50% of the time it's not going to go well? Is that okay?
Yeah, but I almost worry about phrasing it that way because we might just be playing with words and not the actual ideas.
We're playing with words. We're playing with words.
That's right. These are all puns.
Us.
Yeah, that's right. Those are all word puns.
Incredible. You're redefining the concept of confidence in front of our faces. And
no, I asked Chris to define it. I asked Chris to define it up top before I even said anything about confidence because I wanted to play with his definition. And Chris, he gave me a definition.
Lawyered. We're getting lawyered. We're
I know. You know what's great? You know, Sam, that's so funny. I was just thinking that because I've never considered there to be any other motives in our conversations other than just conversation, learning, debating. And when Jamie said it, pitch it to me first, I was like, that's nice. Now I see in hindsight, it was a tactic to set me up to chop me down, even though I hadn't even thought. I thought about it on the spot, my definition of confidence or what that feels like. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I only wanted to play with your definition because I didn't want us to argue and be talking about two different things. So I wanted to hear your definition so I could speak your language. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason. It's not so that I could undercut you. It's just so that I could express my terms in your language, right?
Gotcha.
Listeners, if you go back and listen to every episode, you'll realize that Jamie never gives the initial definition. In fact, Jamie, I'll put you on the spot. What's your initial definition for confidence?
Delusion.
The delusion?
No, for me, confidence is a sense that you are going into a situation and you will be able to have some kind of successful outcome. That's probably right. About as specific right. as I could be. And I feel like Chris's was probably more or less on the same page with that. So I think we are speaking the same language. So that was the definition just for the listeners to get us started. So, because I don't want to be talking about semantics. I want to talk about the ideas. So I wanted to play on the same page. But I will say, don't ad hominem me just because I am a lawyer. I am a comedian first and foremost.
An ad hominem is a type of logical fallacy where you attack someone for their person. Jamie, even just throwing out ad hominem shows his lawyerliness. So, you know, I
Sam just defined ad hominem for everybody.
I defined it for Chris. I defined it.
Right. Thank you. I was gonna say I didn't know what it was. Thank you, Sam. I want to shift a little bit, this much, just 2%. It's something that Sam said earlier on, which is something I used to have a problem with, but I've come to not have a problem with it, which is the idea of people being confident when they shouldn't be. I think this is interesting. I think this is so interesting. I see it in an SNL performance, a stand-up performance, an improv thing, where that person seems so sure as shit about themselves and what they're doing. And I'm like, this guy, a person, is terrible. As I get older, though, I used to get actively upset that they had the audacity to be confident in this moment. I don't feel that upset anymore. I go, good for them. Hey. But that's such an interesting thing. We've all seen the person, although maybe they were just faking the funk, being delusional like I was, like I said earlier on. But we've all seen the person that is seemingly confident on stage, not doing good work. That's such a weird moment. And they're like, they walk off stage, good show, everybody. You go, what the fuck? That was, let's talk about that person. Have you been that person? Is it necessary? Yes, yes.
Yeah. And I will say that it is a systemic white man problem. I can say this as someone who has been sent random screenplays by people for, you know, 15 years or so. It's generally, and I think we could talk about why people who are white and male maybe grow up with more confidence than other people and how that's maybe leads to a sense of entitlement or arrogance, which I think is true. It's just something I've seen. And I think there are other demographics and other types of people who struggle with confidence and have to be encouraged a lot more and should have more confidence in what they're doing. I've seen so many people throw something down and being like, yeah, this is good. And you're just like, oh, I'm sorry. you seem pretty confident in it, but I have some thoughts, and you don't seem like you're necessarily ready to hear that because you're so confident in what you're putting out there. I can't shake your confidence. If I tell you, like, actually, this isn't very good, you might not hear me. You might say to me, like, you know, fuck off, frankly. And it's happened before. It's that, you know, I call myself the asshole sometimes because I kind of have to sometimes tell people what they don't want to hear. And a lot of times it's someone who's confident in something that I'm not confident in. And that can cause problems.
Yeah, I think that the fake confident person, it's kind of, yeah, just they're trying to sell their confidence to the audience. It's like, it's just, it's a show, it's performance. Oh, this is the best, this is going to be the best thing. It's like, they're just trying to sell you on their idea, whether or not it's undergirded by actual confidence. But then again, to me, the only difference between fake confident and real confident is that you've not only sold the audience, you've sold yourself on it.
I love that.
That's really the only difference, is you finally bought into your own Kool-Aid. You finally drank the Kool-Aid of yourself.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, fine. So let's even go there, because we obviously can't escape this debate or whatever this is. So tell me again what the issue with that is. Because as Sam was telling his story about the person, I was like, oh, well, that person's delusional. And I was like, oh, fuck that. But Sam's saying they're confident. Oh, that's Jamie's kind of definition going into my brain, which is why I'm here. You know, if none of this matters anyway, and if confidence can kind of, I don't know, make positive neurons snap in your brain, it's a more better way to, like, what's the negative of having these delusions, Sam? Oh, I said Sam. It doesn't matter. Because you want to feel. Everybody wants to feel. You want to feel when it's the meanness of the world, Jamie, if that's the case. And like you feel like this delusion. Just, I don't know. Just what's wrong with just having a little fucking false confidence, a little keeping your chin up even when you feel down. You know, they say if you bite a pencil when you feel bad, because your face is making the smiley, you know, emotion, that it sends signals to your brain that you're happy. What's wrong with that? Tell me.
Yeah. That's why I said earlier, is that I don't mean for my opinions to hurt anybody or shake them or tell them that they're wrong, because, you know, I think it's a coping mechanism, and people need coping mechanisms maybe to get through the day until they can articulate a better concept.
We're all coping.
In some way, you know, I mean, it's hard to be 100% real and authentic all the time. We live in a society that's full of, you know, performance in on the real world. But we're just talking about on the stage here. So the only concern I have with being okay, being satisfied with a delusional state of being, even if, you know, you can be 90% confident, but that 10% is missing or delusional. Maybe that 10% is the delusion, 90% is reality. I don't know. We're just making up stuff here. But for me, is that when you live in any kind of state of delusion, then you have the challenge of how to solve a problem when it arises. Because if you're living in a state of delusion, you can't solve the problem because you're in a delusional state. So delusions persist, they come up, they don't get solved because you're not actually dealing with what the actual problem is, which is that confidence is not going to help you. Confidence might get you on stage, it might get you up in the morning. But if you're having problems of self-esteem and issues like that, confidence will not save you. Instead, realizing what's actually important, which is, I think, family, health, things like that, that like are on a human level important, and that your dumb sitcom didn't make it. Not saying your dumb sitcom. I'm just saying in general.
A dumb sitcom.
I thought he was talking to me.
Yeah. Okay. I'm talking to the world. Yeah. That your dumb sitcom didn't make it is actually just trivial, because it's a drop in the bucket. Who cares? Move on to the next thing. So when you have a very grounded idea of what is really important, you know, family, health, life, whatever it is, and everything else is kind of just trivial. It doesn't really matter that much. You know, like I remember my parents had a fight when I was a kid, and it cracked me up. And I still remember it to this day. My dad was like an ad executive, and he was like doing car advertisements, and he had commercials, and he was had newspapers ad, because that was big back in like the late 90s. And so he had like this big ego, like, oh, all these car ads, and he had all this confidence that he could like sell cars and do all this ad stuff, whatever, you know, classic ego confidence executive type mentality. And then my mom was just like, people use your advertisements to put at the bottom of a birdcage for their birds to shit on. You know, it's like, it's that kind of thing where it's like, it doesn't really matter. Even the things that you have confidence in, even if you got it, he got his ad executive job and now he's, you know, now he has all these ads and people are reading his advertisements. It's like, who cares? People, birds are shitting on it right now. So it's like having a realistic worldview of what's actually important. It's like, even the things you think are important might not actually be that important. You know, some things are, but some things aren't. And so to have a real relationship with what really matters in the grand scheme of things, I think is more healthy and sustainable. Because if I bomb an improv show, if I mess up an improv class, maybe, you know, my show's not successful. Maybe I lose my teaching job. That's okay. I'll move on to the next thing and things. I'll start my own school. I'll start a new show. You know, there's always opportunities ahead that can be taken even with failures. And so realizing that you don't need confidence, you just need a healthy dose of what's important and what's not. And so that is what gets me through a show. When I step on a stage, I honestly don't have confidence. I don't know how the show's going to go. It might be great. It might be a disaster. I really don't know. And I don't feel confident that it'll go one way or the other. But I know that if it's a disaster, that's okay, because it doesn't matter. I'm going to go home and live my life. So that's kind of how I approach things. And so the problem with confidence, I know I'm going on a tangent here. The problem with confidence is that if you have sustained failures, then it starts hurting your self-esteem because you think something's important that's really not important, but you have to have confidence to get yourself to be able to live up to it. And then it just creates a complicated internal mechanism where you have to delude yourself just to get through the day. Just you're deluding yourself that you're okay at something that doesn't matter. That's the hardest way to do that. As let's just say it doesn't matter and not worry about the delusion. Right. So that's how I perceive the situation. And I'm sure people disagree, and that's totally fine, whatever gets you through the day. But to me, confidence is a delusion and you don't really need it.
Okay. I hear that. I hear you.
Sam?
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. I don't know how much I agree with it, though, because to me, there's a level of confidence that goes beyond, like, yeah, those birds are shitting on a great ad. Yeah. But then I also know that I mean, I've been in situations where people have written a joke and they will say that'll work. That'll work in front of an audience. You say that joke in front of 250 people. And I'm pretty confident. I'll say pretty confident for a reason. I'm pretty confident that that'll work. You always have to allow for like the 5 to 10%, even at like the highest professional level where it's not going to work. And I think that's, you have to have confidence that some of it's not going to work. You know, I've worked with people and their quotes sort of like, well, something's not going to work. I just don't know what. They have the confidence that most of what they've done is going to work. They also have the confidence that some of it's not going to work. And they also have the confidence that they're going to be able to fix some of it. So I hear you. I disagree with you, but I hear you.
Well, I mean, but just because they have the confidence, that doesn't mean that it's not a delusion.
Like, I think sometimes you do take this to a theoretical level. And I think a lot of times Chris and I do come from sort of a practical work.
I have to say, I get that critique from you a lot. I actually disagree. Yes. I think it's the opposite. I think I'm the most real and the most actual practical one. But because I'm not playing in the social constructs we all live in, and I'm playing with like actual humanity rather than the social ideas.
What does that even mean?
What that means is that you're saying that yours is more practical because yours deals with the social construct of confidence. And mine says, actually, that's a social construct and you don't need it because what's really going on is this other thing. You want to talk about the social construct. I want to talk about what's behind the social construct. I don't think mine's more theoretical. I think mine's more real.
You just spoke gibberish for like 30 seconds. I'm not following the argument here. I think okay. My point is that you'll say in theory something can work. And I would like to say that like in these situations, I've seen confidence manifest in these ways.
But it's not theoretical because I live this every day. So I am the proof that it's practical because I exist this way. So it's how theoretical can that be?
Yeah, no, true. True. Well, let's bring this back to like the stage.
I know. I'm so glad you threw out that listener comment about it being philosophy and comedy. because I don't know if we've gotten even more philosophical than this before. But yeah, let's bring it back to comedy and bring it back to the let's attach this philosophy to comedy now.
Jamie has twisted himself into a pretzel for the listeners who aren't seeing this video. It's actually impressive how much he's bent over backwards here.
You know, you got to play the game. That's why I wanted Chris's definition. That's me. I'm putting myself into a pretzel to speak everybody's language.
I feel like the more we talk about this, I associate, or I think like a, and this might be wrong and the wrong uses of this word, whatever, but that a synonym for me of confidence would be a knowing. A knowing. I'm confident this will work. I know this will work. I'm confident it might not work. I know it might not work. I'm confident I can do a good show. I know I could do a good show. So a knowing there. And do you think, Jamie, that having a knowing is also a delusion because we can't know everything all the time?
Knowledge itself is a delusion. Because what is knowledge? Knowledge implies some objective truth, and there's no such thing as objectivity because we're all trapped in our subjective minds, right? Mm-hmm. And so what is objective? If two subjective views, if Chris, you and I have a subjective view about, hey, Chris, you're a good performer, you can do this show, you know, does that make it true? What if we get three people to agree? What if we get 50 people to agree on this subjective thing? When does subjective jump from object? When does subjective truth, you know, something that you believe about yourself or to be true, jump into an objective truth? To me, that never happens. Everybody in the world can agree on something and it's still a subjective truth. There's no way to get to objectivity from our human brains. So maybe objective truth does exist, but we can't access it, right? Because we're trapped in our minds.
Sam, do you want to say something?
Yeah. Who won the 2020 election, Jamie?
We still don't know. Biden, but again, I don't know. I wasn't counting. I didn't count 180 million votes. You just have to take other people's words for it. And that's how we have our system built up. That's okay.
But do you trust yourself to know what you know and not know? So like if you walk off stage and I said, did you have fun? Like, are there truths in this world? Like you go, yeah, I had fun. Could I be like, well, did you have fun? Or were you coping for a thing that you did when you were four and now you associate that with the word fun? Like, where, what is any of this?
It's a good question.
And we thought comedy and performance was too broad of a topic. What is any of this?
Do you know when you've had a good show?
I think so. I mean, that's why I would differentiate between, like, the word knowledge gets thrown a lot around colloquially because it's just part of English. It doesn't have like a technical definition that I think is strictly enforced, because there might be beliefs and then you call that knowledge, right? So you believe something. No. I believe that I had a good time. I know that I had a good time. I mean, I don't know. That's why you can have a subjective knowledge. You can have a subjective belief in what's true. That's fine. No one can take that away from you. But to get to an objective belief of what's true, I think is impossible. The only way we have objective truth is a bunch of subjective truths agreeing with one another. And that's called democracy.
So are you deluding yourself that this is true? That your statement is true? Is that part of this delusion?
Am I deluding myself that my I don't understand the question.
You're asserting that you're saying that a truth is that there is no truth.
Is that there is no truth.
Right, you're saying there's no way that you can know anything. So my question
objectively,
is, so are you deluding yourself? So you're deluding yourself into believing that there is nothing you can know.
No, I have a subjective belief that there's no way to know that something is objectively true. Okay.
Right. And that manifests on stage how?
By me not having any confidence, but by me not worrying about it in the end, because it doesn't matter if it's not true. Say right now, everything that I just said on this podcast in the past, however many minutes it's been, is completely wrong. Here's what's great about it. It doesn't matter, because everyone is going to have, Chris is still going to have a way of approaching performance. So are you. So are our listeners. Maybe this has been fun food for thought, but that's the thing about like these different ideas is that they don't matter, which is why you don't need to have confidence that I'm right right now. I don't need to have any confidence in it, because if I'm wrong, it doesn't matter, because I still found a way to exist in the world that helps me. Chris has a way to exist in the world that helps him. Sam, same, and everybody else. And maybe you don't. And maybe you're looking for that coping mechanism. Maybe you need confidence. But I would suggest, if you have a choice between confidence and having a realistic view of what's important and what's not, I would choose my view over confidence. Because again, you know, confidence is the delusion. So if you have a choice, choose mine. Just saying.
First of all, I do think that what you say here matters. And I, because you said, like, whatever you say doesn't matter. I'm going to go about my way and Samson go about his way. I don't come, especially me, I don't come in here with knowing anything 100%. So I'm always.
Well, you can't. It's impossible.
That's right. Thank you. I'm so glad you're here. I'm always kind of swayed and informed by both of you, by everybody I come in contact with, which is, I'm very thankful for. And you better believe I do a fucking personal inventory and an emotional inventory of myself thoroughly. Somebody who's I'm 4 years sober now and do my writing and my reading. I don't just walk around going, me the best, fake confidence. No, I fucking do the work, homie. I mean, I don't know how old you are. I think I'm like probably at least 10 years older than you, dog. I do the work, Jamie. I don't cover that. I used to cover that shit up with this false confidence, whatever the fuck. Like I said at the very beginning, there is an ease to me, and I don't give a shit if it's real or not, dude. I don't give a fuck if we're in a fucking matrix or something or not. There's an ease to me, and I associate that with a confidence that a true confidence. Maybe I'm using the fucking word wrong, Jamie. Maybe that word is not. Maybe today I've learned that confidence is actually like. I haven't looked it up yet. Maybe it's more like what you're saying, like of confidence, a fucking false I don't know. But what I'm trying to say here as we're going off is, I don't want you to think it's one or the other. I don't want you to think there's your way or the confidence way, because I do your way. I really do. I think I you know what I mean? Like I try to do that work, and then I also feel confident sometimes. How's that? I want them both. I want to be nice, everybody. Can't there be the Venn diagram of those of us who live in between, who understand?
That's why I wanted to always preface this by, like, I'm not here to change anybody's minds or to tell you that you're wrong. If you found a way that makes you genuinely happy and to exist in the world, my God, of course, that's what we all need. I wouldn't want to take that away from anybody. And on stage. And more importantly, on stage. Who cares about the world? On stage, if you have found a way to be comfortable, nothing is more important than that. So by all means, but I will say that confidence has its limits.
Sure.
And that's, I think, where it runs into problems, is when it runs into those limits, then what? Then what? Right?
Well, dude,
then what? Come talk to me. Because I have something else. I'm not trying to sell anybody on it, but if you want to talk about, hey, this is not working, good, great. I have something that I think will work instead.
And what is that?
What I just was talking about for 40 minutes.
And just say it in a sentence.
That it's better, instead of having confidence that you can, you know, achieve something on stage, instead of going about it that way, be real that if it doesn't, it doesn't matter. Mm. It doesn't matter. Just be more, I guess, have a broader perspective of what's important and what's not important.
Good. Okay. And if you don't want to, if you don't like Jamie's perspective, come to my school. I'll teach you how to have some real confidence, guys, where it feels good inside and out that what you're saying and what you're doing, you know, to be true. So come on over. It's chris-alvaro.com for improv classes over there. Sam, any parting words?
I am not an authority on confidence. You can see me delete tweets on Twitter at the Sam Miller.
That's so good. By all means, I've taken Chris's workshops, and he knows what he's talking about as far as anybody can know what they're talking about.
Thank you. I wasn't actually plugging it, but thank you.
But you should be plugging it, because it's good stuff. Chris is one of the best. And then I'm at Jamie Parkinen on Instagram. I think currently I have 7 followers. So don't, if I go above double digits, I'm going to be worried. So I don't know. I guess I'm just there in case anybody wants to message me anything about confidence or something about this topic, because I can talk about this all day, really. I mean, that's why we have a podcast on it. And we still, I don't even know if we covered any ground, really. I think we just threw out some definitions, disagreed a little bit, and then now it's time to go to lunch.
Can I say though, I think it's really nice, just quickly, that you have an Instagram, because we are getting messages on our Instagram. I am getting personal messages and emails, and I want to invite any listener to go ahead and reach out to either of these two dudes or myself, of course. But Jamie has 7 followers. Don't let that scare you. It looks kind of psychopathic, but he's actually only on so he can further the conversation with our listeners, which I think is fucking great.
Yeah, I'm actually only on Instagram. Yeah, I'm only on Instagram for you, the listeners, and you two, the co-hosts.
Great. Please keep writing us, keep telling us, tell us what you want to talk about.
That'd be so much fun. I would love to hear what listeners have rattling around their brains. That would be fun to do a listener version.
Like if Jamie has 7 followers and Sam, Chris, and the Comedy Fix are 3 of them, who are the other 4?
My girlfriend, and I think some other people who have liked the podcast, that I don't know. Nice. I think Josh Spence, nice. Josh is on it. Josh liked me.
Hi, Josh. Thanks for listening.
Hey, Josh. Anyway, this has been great, informative, and let us know what you think. And at the Comedy Fix on Instagram. And this has been the Comedy Fix, where we don't seem to fix anything.
No, I broke the opening.